From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man, we pick up where we ended on our previous broadcast and present more of a pre-recorded episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank is talking with D.K. Matthews, author of the cover article in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal, The Word Crisis That Threatens to Undo Western Civilization. Well, let's now join Hank Hanegraaff and Dr. Matthews in their conversation.
San Francisco Board of Supervisors, I think you pointed this out in your book, but they have had this attempt to redefine words. Words like convict or felon or prisoner or juvenile delinquent, they're now called justice-involved persons. Unpack for us what the harm in that is. What's the harm in taking a felon and calling that felon a justice-involved person or a juvenile delinquent and calling that person a justice-involved person? What's the ramifications of that?
Well, there's no harm. Yeah, first of all, let's be fair, because I think it's important when we're, you know this as good as anyone, but with apologetics, you know, the apologia, the defense of the Christian faith, you approach the other person like you show reverence to a king. You're overflowing with love. You're overflowing with Christ-likeness. Proverbs talks about how we so easily stir up anger by the tone of the words and the selection of the words that we use. So I don't want to contribute to the polarization and the tribalism. I think the people that are doing this, I think that some of them know what they're doing. They have a larger agenda. Let's just call it what it is. Some of them, I think, have been seduced. I think their intention is that they think these terms have become very, you know, negative, degrading, self-fulfilling prophecy type terms that particularly have been applied disproportionately to individuals who are minorities. And so they realize that when somebody shoots somebody, well, I don't know, maybe they won't do this anymore, but it used to be you wouldn't just let them walk around, you know, you'd have to address them. So they're trying to create a framework where you refer to them as justice-involved persons rather than categorizing them with a negative term. Now, maybe we can raise the level of the discourse, but you're going to have a term that means you have been convicted of a crime. Justice-involved persons, it seems to me, is abolishing a very, very important distinction. If you push that distinction far enough, then why not just shut down all the prisons? Oh, yeah, a lot of people are suggesting that. If you push that far enough, then let's just get rid of the whole concept of police and law. Hey, oh, yeah, a lot of people are actually suggesting that. So, you know, we might be able to have conversations that are more constructive and sensitive to the context that some people are living in. But I don't think the solution is abolishing convict, felon, and prisoner. If someone is in prison, you just call them a justice-involved person, and you use that term to apply to prisoners and felons and convicts. I just think you're just creating an absolute confusion to the language. So I think they need to come up with a better solution if they really do have a good intent. And the reality is that if you're convicted of murder, you are a murderer, and you are a convict, you will be involved with the justice system, but, you know, that's your legal status. And abolishing those type of semantic distinctions and legal status terms, I don't think that really helps the conversation or moves it forward. It sure illustrates how you redefine words and then you redefine reality.
You've already alluded to this in this conversation, but maybe it bears expansion. In one sense, counterfeiting words is not a novel virus. Jesus and Paul, they were on the vanguard of exposing counterfeit definitions. So you allude to this in the conversation because you're saying nothing is new under the sun. This has happened before and we've been able to overcome. Maybe you can expand on this a little bit because Jesus and Paul give us great examples of how we have to expose the counterfeit words that are creeping into our vocabulary.
Yeah, they really do. And the preface is, nothing is new under the sun. On the other hand, this ultra-modern approach to language, maybe it was predated by the sophists in ancient Greece who tried to deconstruct, you know, every statement and to some extent every word, but that did not dominate Western civilization and culture. Plato had the norms of the forms. Aristotle had his, you know, telos, his end, his goal. And all through Western civilization, you know, you had some type of norm. So it's not new, but, you know, but it is new probably because of the intentionality. This is not a new thing for the dark side. That's been going on for a long time. But yes, I love what the apostle, I was surprised. In fact, this book, I think, partially emerged just by my devotion. You know, I'm reading in scripture and like, oh, well, here goes Paul again. Here goes Paul again. There goes Jesus again, taking a term that has been redefined in order to distort God's intent and God's will and smuggle in a new definition that usually allows some type of behavior that is really not God's will. Some of this is very practical, like divorce, you know, where divorce becomes basically serial adultery, and Jesus kind of has to rein that in a little bit. We have progressive revelation in the Old Testament, and so God allows that progress of revelation. But the reality is that David and Solomon, their situations where they had their multiple wives, essentially, that didn't play out real well, did it? And so I think that even that story points forward to something better, which Jesus then defines, and he gives us the classic one man, one woman for life. And when you engage in serial monogamy, that is just adultery. In fact, let's take it to the heart. You don't even have to physically commit adultery to be dancing on thin ice. And I think there is a difference between, you know, imaginations of the mind and intent and the action. But the point is, it's all connected and it all comes from the heart. So Jesus gets to the heart of the matter on divorce, on adultery. The one that I love that Paul and Jesus both essentially talk about, the early chapters of John, John 6, John 8, and then Paul talks about in multiple places, Ephesians, Colossians, is this concept of circumcision. You know, what a beautiful, powerful way to counter. People thought that physical circumcision made them God's people. People thought that genetics, being born and having a genealogy going back to the Jewish progeny, meant they were God's people. And Jesus just blasted that at the roots. And Paul theologically connected it to the kingdom vision of the future. Circumcision is ultimately spiritual. You know, Jesus can make the stones say, praise God, praise God, praise God, but they're not spiritually circumcised. And what Jesus wants is people whose hearts are radically transformed. They've been through the Ezekiel spiritual open heart surgery that transforms them from the inside out so that they can fulfill the law. That's the true line of promise. That's the true Davidic line. That's the true line of Christ. And so when we properly define words, we not only are just countering, it's not just negative. It's extremely positive. We're drawing people into the kingdom vision and the kingdom definitions of the future, where we all will ultimately find our true telos or our true end. So it's pretty exciting work, Hank, that you draw people into this conversation and you use that to point them to the true definition. We have something better than inclusion. You know, we have something better than multiculturalism. We have something much better than being non-judgmental. And by the way, judgmental is one of the most abused verses and concepts in the Bible. We have something much better in terms of personally meaningful truth. We have personally meaningful truth. It's rooted in ontological, meaning the nature of reality, normative truth that guides what we are, who we should be, and where history is headed.
I mentioned Jesus. I mentioned Paul, and it's kind of interesting. Even the word Jesus has gone through linguistic subversion. So you have Thomas Jefferson subverting the word Jesus, pouring his own meaning into the word. So it's not the word you use, but the meaning that's poured into the word. But you also have Madonna, as you point out in the article, doing the same thing. Her Jesus is a completely different Jesus, a Jesus who supports or would be advocating for abortion.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, Thomas Jefferson had his Bible, you know, his Bible where he cut out all the miracles consistent with deism. By the way, just for the record, Jefferson was, relatively speaking, if you look at the European horizon, he was a pretty conservative deist who wasn't a full-fledged deist on a number of issues. But yes, he redefined Jesus. So did the classical liberals. Hank, you know this, but Schweitzer, you know, looked at the liberal theology of a generation trying to de-eschatologize Jesus. You know, he wasn't this wild-eyed prophet. He was this wise man roaming around, you know, spouting, you know, pithy ethical truths and so forth. And Schweitzer said, you know what, and I'm paraphrasing what a bishop said, Tyrell, I believe, but, you know, you look down the long well of history to find the historical Jesus, and you saw a reflection of yourself, and you called that Jesus. And I think Jefferson was doing that, and I think that the classical liberal theologians were doing that, and I think that Madonna is doing that when she says, hey, I want to meet with the Pope. I want to sit down with the Pope and let him know that if you really are a follower of Jesus, then you're going to be pro-choice, you know, and here's why.
Don't go away. We'll be right back and rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Dr. D.K. Matthews. Semantic equivocation, verbal seduction, and manipulative word games are not new, writes D.K. Matthews. They have emerged within faith communities throughout history. The Apostle Paul, following in the semantic stead and steps of Christ, repeatedly challenged seductive redefinitions of key biblical terms. Another Jesus, a different gospel, angel of light, false apostles, deceitful workers, and unrighteous servants. In the current issue of the Christian Research Journal, Dr. Matthews warns that the seductive banishment of biblical and Judeo-Christian influence from the entire American lexicon has far more profound and long-term implications and consequences for the health of the church, culture, law, and civilization than any single cultural trend. But there is a way forward. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. We live in an age of increasingly militant secularism and scientism, an age in which science, reinforced by its stunning successes and unprecedented benefits in our quality of life, is increasingly the arbiter of what constitutes truth. But the question is, do the facts of science really suggest a world governed by blind chance, or do they ultimately point to purpose and design? Living Waters, a film by Illustra Media, explores Earth's astonishing underwater realm, and shows how it's a realm where biological wonders reflect the highest levels of purpose and design. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles, equipping you to exercise truth and experience life. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The question, "What do you mean by that?" may be the most important question one could ask today. In this relativistic post-truth age in which words are systemically redefined to undermine the Judeo-Christian foundations of Western civilization, Christians must discern the meaning of words and learn to counter and redeem semantic distortions. Other topics include faithful living through COVID-19, Irenaeus and Christian teaching, winning the fight for religious freedom, vocation and performance in T.S. Eliot's The Confidential Clerk, the beauty of worship, aesthetics and truth, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Let's rejoin Hank Hanegraaff and Dr. D.K. Matthews as they continue their conversation.
Schweitzer said, you know what, and I'm paraphrasing what a bishop said, Tyrell, I believe, but you know, you look down the long well of history to find the historical Jesus, and you saw a reflection of yourself, and you called that Jesus. And I think Jefferson was doing that, and I think that the classical liberal theologians were doing that, and I think that Madonna is doing that when she says, hey, I want to meet with the Pope. I want to sit down with the Pope and let him know that if you really are a follower of Jesus, then you're going to be pro-choice, you know, and here's why. Well, that not only shows a lot of historical ignorance of the position of Orthodox Christians for centuries on the issue of abortion, or even Jews, you go back. The Jews were unique in their opposition to abortion. That was tied together by the early Christian fathers, infanticide, abortion, even their understanding of the infancy narratives, all of that ruled out the idea of abortion. That is the Orthodox Christian position. And so not only is she, you know, historically myopic and sort of caught up in the moment of definitions, but theologically, she's parsecs away from where the Pope is in understanding this type of an issue. So yes, Jesus would be a classic example of people that have been redefining him forever. But that's right. Redefine Jesus, redefine morality, redefine ethics, redefine spirituality, redefine how I can live.
I think I'm quoting you when I say that today the light of logocentric influence on the soul of the culture is slipping below the horizon. And in your article, you note that Oz Guinness talked about an anything but Christian moment, but that has now morphed into an anti-Judeo-Christian moment. The significance of that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what we're increasingly seeing, and it's kind of like the tremors before an earthquake. We have tectonic shifting going on, and then periodically we have these little eruptions like what we see in the Supreme Court or what we see with Christians being slammed legally simply because they're trying to practice their faith. They're trying to be faithful to what their understanding is of King Jesus and the biblical ethics. And so this semantic game is really trying to marginalize Scripture. That's the ultimate object. You know, if you can get Scripture from out of the American lexicon, redefine all these terms, then the Christian terms become illegal. The Christian faith becomes illegal. The Christian practice becomes illegal. So that's why this task is so critical, because logocentric influence, and this is particularly coming through our educational system, is waning on so many of these terms, which are concepts, which are philosophies, which are theologies. And each of these terms are related to each other, you know, symbiotically, systemically. So you redefine one term, you redefine the others, you redefine all the terms, you have a new country, you have a new morality, you have a new king, essentially, for your culture. So yes, we have to address this with love in our hearts and the personal word of God in our midst and the words of God in our minds and on our lips and a better vision. We need to be constructive and positive. We need a better vision for how we define all of these terms. But there's no question that the tremors are breaking forth in our culture, our civilizational context, in law and culture, in media. And there are people who want to eradicate Judeo-Christian values and influence from our civilization, and they're doing it through the redefinition of terms.
Yeah, so you say you got to have the word of God on your lips. So, for example, and maybe this is an extreme example in the use of Scripture, but if I simply took, in some context, let's say Canadian radio stations that we're on, if I took a word like homosexuality, and I didn't define it myself, but I simply read a passage from the Bible where Paul is talking about homosexuality, let's say Romans chapter 1, that could be considered hate speech I'm not even commenting on it. All I'm doing is reading what the Bible says, what the Apostle Paul says with respect to homosexuality. And that sort of highlights what is at stake. You have pointed out that no civilization can flourish in any meaningful sense or even survive if it is not built on the bedrock of shared word definitions and usages that can endure and unite. But here's a word that if you use it or define it biblically, the immediate response is you're homophobic, you're bigoted, you're intolerant, you're hateful, you're xenophobic.
Yeah, absolutely. There is a time for civil disobedience. I think that there is also a time to be creative. And so when I talk about scripture on our lips, I'm particularly talking about the Christian community being immersed or, you know, kind of symbolically, you know, how the Jews have the little scripture hanging around their forehead. That's our culture. That's who we are. We get up in the morning and we go to bed at night. We have scripture. It shapes and frames who we are. When we are communicating with people that are already predisposed to despise the terms, like, you know, you mentioned this, Hank, in your wonderful introduction, you know, the term homosexuality. When there are people that are predisposed to despise those types of things, that's where I think maybe, hey, you're the Bible guy, but Acts 17 may have some relevance here. And that is that you want to go into the context and you're eventually going to offend some people. And Paul did by the end of the sermon in Acts 17, but he also won some people over. But you go into the context and you understand where the people are coming from. You know, Paul's quoting from relatively obscure Greek poets and philosophers and looking what is on their sculpture and the unknown God. I'm sorry, some people are going to get offended at me, but he didn't start with an expository sermon. You know, let's turn to chapter whatever. But he started with the cultural context and addressed that context and then began to bring in the Judeo-Christian meaning. So I think there may be a place, if you're up in Canada, where you may have to go the route of civil disobedience. But there also may be an opportunity for you to creatively address some of these issues and help people to understand why that value is important more than just sort of Bible thumping or Bible quoting, not that we shouldn't quote scripture, but there might be ways to communicate in that situation. In America, we still have lots of opportunities. They haven't taken that Hank Hanegraaff guy off the air yet, you know. There are things that we can do with culture, media, social media, even politicians are able to do some things here that they aren't able to do in other places in the world. And so that's why I still think there is a tremendous opportunity. Here's my pessimism, Hank, if I'm being real honest with you. If we don't do something within the next generation, generation and a half, maybe two, if we don't do something within the next generation relative to the educational systems in our country, it's over.
Wow.
In terms of Western civilization.
Wow. Yeah.
Because that's why we are where we are. You talked about all of the, you know, neo-Marxist options and critical theory and all of these different things. That's coming out of the educational system where there are great teachers. My father was a teacher. My mother was a teacher. My brother was a teacher, public K through 12, college, all that kind of stuff. They're wonderful teachers, and things vary by region. That's important. You'd be amazed what goes on in some states in this country in terms of Judeo-Christian influence. But that being said, the energy, the momentum that is taking place in our educational system right now is what is producing what is taking place in our culture, in our civilization, in Hollywood, in media, on the Supreme Court. What happened in the Supreme Court? Again, going back to Wesley, that's the fruit. That's not the root. Madonna, Lady Gaga, you know, Lord bless them. I hope they find Jesus and have wonderful lives. That's not the root. That's the fruit. But unfortunately, even in the Church of Jesus Christ, we have not been fully grounded in Scripture, and therefore we've not been as effective and influential as we can be. And some of those, unfortunately, most committed to the authority of Scripture and the words of Scripture, I'm afraid sometimes they've often adopted the posture of, I'm out of here.
Hmm. Your book, Seduced, Shameless Spin, Weaponized Words, Polarization, Tribalism, and the Impending Disintegration of Faith and Culture. I think it is a terrific resource. I also want to thank you for the article in the Christian Research Journal, Seduced: The Crisis of Word and the Fragmentation of Civilization. It's an absolutely incredible article. You can sort of get a nutshell version of what you've communicated in the book and the article. And again, thank you so much for writing that article. When I read it, I immediately said, that has to be the cover story. By God's grace, everybody agreed.
My pleasure, and from kind of an evangelical Wesleyan perspective, you and your staff are definitely entirely sanctified. It's been a pleasure working with you from beginning to end. Just outstanding.
Well, thank you, and thank you for contributing so much of your time to this podcast. Not only your words of wisdom, but your passion, the passion by which you're communicating those words, are intoxicating, to say the least.
Well, praise the Lord if it advances the kingdom of God.
D.K. Matthews, and again, the book Seduced, we make it available to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. Also, the Christian Research Journal. If you haven't subscribed, you want to at least get this copy of the Christian Research Journal. You don't want to miss out.
Thank you for listening to this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To hear this Hank Unplugged podcast interview with Dr. D.K. Matthews in its entirety, go to equip.org, iTunes, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles, equipping believers to exercise truth and experience life. Topics in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal include repentance and prayer in a time of massive urban unrest and COVID-19, the word crisis that threatens to undo Western civilization, winning the fight for religious freedom. The second century theological warrior Irenaeus stands among the most relevant thinkers of our day, the beauty of worship, aesthetics and truth, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to the Christian Research Institute at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. We live in an age of increasingly militant secularism and scientism, an age in which science, reinforced by its stunning successes and unprecedented benefits in our quality of life, is increasingly the arbiter of what constitutes truth. But the question is, do the facts of science really suggest a world governed by blind chance, or do they ultimately point to purpose and design? Living Waters, a film by Illustra Media, explores Earth's astonishing underwater realm and shows how it's a realm where biological wonders reflect the highest levels of purpose and design. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.